And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Religious leaders have joined the nation in mourning the Duke of Edinburgh, praising his extraordinary life of dedicated service. The Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Justin Welby, led prayers across the UK and the Commonwealth for Prince Philip, who died last Friday morning, aged 99, at Windsor Castle. Referring to his Christian faith, the Archbishop paid tribute to the late Duke and his unfailing support and unstinting loyalty to the Queen, his wife of 73 years, as well as the country. He consistently put the interests of others ahead of his own and, in so doing, provided an outstanding example of Christian service, the Archbishop added. On the occasions when I met him, I was always struck by his obvious joy at life, his inquiring mind, and his ability to communicate to people from every background and walk of life. He was master at putting people at their ease and making them feel special. The legacy he leaves is enormous. The Archbishop was one of many faith leaders to pay tribute to the Queen's husband, including the Archbishop of York, the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell. Figures from Jewish, Catholic, Muslim, Hindu and Sikh faiths were also among those offering their condolences to the royal family, paying tribute to his life of service as well as his focus on interfaith work. Prince Philip, who was the longest serving British consort, has been praised for his extraordinary life of dedicated service as well as the charities and causes for which he helped raise awareness. Faith leaders reflected on his naval career during the Second World War, his establishment of the Duke of Edinburgh's Award, which promotes community and citizenship values, as well as his work with charities and organisations, reflecting his wide-ranging global interest in topics including wildlife, conservation, sport, design, engineering and interfaith dialogue. Archbishop Welby added, "As we recover and rebuild after the terrible trial of the coronavirus pandemic, we will need fortitude and a deep sense of commitment to serving others. Throughout his life, Prince Philip displayed those qualities in abundance, and I pray that we can take inspiration from his example. I also join many people in giving thanks for the marriage of Her Majesty the Queen and Prince Philip, and for their children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Theirs was a marriage grounded in friendship and mutual respect, and sustained by shared faith in Christ. I pray that God will comfort Her Majesty and the rest of the royal family at this time. May His Royal Highness rest in peace and rise in glory." The Archbishop of York also called on the nation to join him in prayer for the royal family, adding, "As we give thanks to God for a life lived to the full, may Prince Philip rest in peace and rise in glory." Cardinal Vincent Nicholls, head of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, added, "How much will we miss Prince Philip's presence and character, so full of life and vigour. He has been an example of steadfast loyalty and duty cheerfully given. May he rest in peace." Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mervis praised the Duke's exceptional service to our nation, saying, "We have lost a most distinguished man who was a selfless and loyal public figure. The Queen and all the royal family are very much in our thoughts and prayers at this difficult time." Prince Philip's mother, Princess Alice, is buried at the Russian Orthodox Church of St. Mary Magdalene in Jerusalem. Following the Nazi invasion of Greece, the princess risked her life by hiding a Jewish family in her home. She returned to the UK in 1947 for the wedding of Prince Philip and the Queen, before travelling back to Greece where she established an order of Greek Orthodox nuns. Chief Rabbi Mervis added, "I enjoyed immensely my personal conversations with the Duke of Edinburgh, during which I was deeply moved by his extraordinary sense of duty. A remarkable royal, working well into his 90s, he became a role model for staying active in one's latter years and demonstrated an unwavering sense of responsibility to our country. We remember the Duke's interaction with and affection for the Jewish community in the UK and his connection with Israel, where his mother is buried and which he visited in 1994. Marie van der Zyl, President of the Board of Deputies of British Jews, added, "Our thoughts are with the royal family today. It is our sincere hope that their memories of Prince Philip will be a comfort to them in the period ahead." The Muslim Council of Britain also released a statement sending condolences to the royal family. It added, "We are deeply saddened by the news of the Duke of Edinburgh's passing. Prince Philip was a pillar of support to our sovereign and had a big presence in public life for decades." Anil Barnott, OBE, Interfaith Director of Hindu Council UK, paid tribute to the Prince on behalf of the nation's Hindu community, who loved and admired Prince Philip as a great, frank soul. The Sikh Federation UK also commented on the sad news of his death, saying he should be remembered for a lifetime of public service and devoting most of his life to supporting the Queen. Two Christian women are facing the death penalty in Pakistan for removing a sticker with a verse from the Quran from a Muslim colleague's locker that they were asked to clean. A mob gathered at the district headquarters hospital in Faisalabad, demanding nurses Maryam Lal and Nush Uroj are hanged after the pair were accused of blasphemy. The women told police they had been asked to tidy the locker of the head nurse and they had scratched off the sticker containing the holy text with a pen, The Times reports. During the riots, Lal was reportedly stabbed by a fellow hospital worker and police were forced to intervene to rescue the two women as the mob tried to kill them. After rescuing the women, the police confirmed an investigation had been launched into the incident and the pair had been remanded for 15 days. Tehrik-e-Labbaik Pakistan, TLP, a far-right Islamist party which opposes any changes to the country's strong blasphemy laws, is said to have fueled the protests. Pakistan has strict blasphemy laws which carry a death penalty for people who insult the Prophet Muhammad, Islam, the Quran or certain holy people. An overwhelming 98% of the population follows Islam and critics say the law targets members of other religious groups including Hindus and Christians. Domestic and international human rights groups say blasphemy allegations have often been used to intimidate minorities and settle personal scores. Local activist Layla Robin claimed the latest incident was also a false allegation. She said, "Minorities feel more insecure in Pakistan than ever. This is a campaign by the TLP to serve their politics." In February, another Christian nurse, Tabitha Nazil Gill, 30, was reportedly tied up and tortured by a mob at the Sobraj Maternity Hospital in Karachi after she was falsely accused of blasphemy. The head nurse, who had worked at the hospital for 9 years, was allegedly falsely accused after she challenged a co-worker for accepting money from a patient. Gill is said to have implemented a rule which stops staff receiving money from people using hospital services. After seeing a Muslim co-worker breaking the order, she told them about their breach and the member of staff subsequently accused her of blasphemy. Footage from the hospital has emerged on social media which shows a group of people in the hospital hitting the woman. In November, protesters from the TLP party demanded that the government severs diplomatic ties with France and expels its ambassador, as fury over Charlie Hebdo's portrayal of the Prophet Muhammad showed no sign of waning. Police blocked the demonstrators as they attempted to enter Islamabad. Some chanted that the only punishment for a blasphemy was beheading, police official Taqiyas Shah said. The protesters attacked the police with bricks, stones and sticks, he added. They were pictured blocking the road into Pakistan's capital. Several of our officers were injured, he said, adding that nearly 2,000 protesters had camped at the main entrance to the city, refusing to leave. We want the government to expel the French ambassador immediately, the TLP's vice president Zahil Al-Hussein said in a video statement. He added that scores of protesters were injured in the clashes. The Church of England has frozen its clergy's pay amid growing financial pressure. The stipends of all professional clergy, from the Archbishop of Canterbury down to junior curates, increased by 0% in their annual pay round. It means that the annual pay of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, will remain at £85,070 for the next year. The salary of a diocesan bishop will stick at £46,180 and the benchmark stipend for a parish vicar will stay at £27,000. Church leaders have also warned that some areas are struggling to pay pensions and the costs of free clergy housing. It comes following major losses due to shrinking congregations and the pandemic. A shutdown of all churches, which began last spring, is estimated to have cost the CFE £150 million. Cuts that have been considered in response have envisaged reducing the number of the Church of England's historic parishes from 12,500 to around 9,000. If numbers of professional clergy are reduced in the same proportion, it would leave the C of E with fewer than 6,000 paid priests and vicars. Clergy pay goes alongside rent-free housing and water bills, council tax and other expenses are also paid by the church. An inquiry into clergy pay is expected to report this summer. A document circulated to synod members on its preliminary findings said that some parishes and some dioceses are facing severe financial pressure exacerbated by COVID-19, giving rise to a degree of concern about the cost and long-term financial sustainability of aspects of the package, particularly pensions and housing maintenance. It added, these pressures may lead to some dioceses to a possible reduction in the number of stipendiary posts. The fall in numbers of young people attending Sunday worship is nothing short of catastrophic, the Church of Scotland's leading cleric has warned. The Right Reverend Dr. Martin Fair, moderator at the General Assembly, said churches needed to ask themselves what they were doing to attract new worshippers, or was the truth that some parishioners like it this way? Writing in this month's edition of Life and Work, The Kirk's House magazine, Fair said the church had been declining in numbers for decades, and as people return to the pews with the pandemic easing, it can't be the same as it was. This needs to be stated. The closure of our buildings cannot be spun as a ban on worship. I've worshipped every Sunday throughout the pandemic in a building on a handful of occasions, and otherwise joining with others online, he stressed. He added, we were declining numerically and had been for 60 years, and most worryingly, the decline in numbers of young people had been nothing short of catastrophic. So I'm pretty sure that whatever the church is going to be like, it can't be the same as it was. What it wasn't was cutting the mustard. It's not that we're finished, more that we need to find new forms, new wineskins for new wine, as Jesus put it. And some new priorities, actually just one, mission. Let it be asked of every worship service. Is it being designed with younger people in mind, or those who have never been, or with a we like it this way attitude? A former moderator, the very Reverend Albert Bogle, writing in the same magazine, said it was time for a new world order. He added, there is a longing in so many hearts today for the renewal of how we organise our world. We need to begin thinking about what the purpose of economy is, and above all, what is the purpose of church? And finally, Pastor Jamie decided he would try his hand at faith healing. So one Sunday he called out a member of his congregation who was on crutches and in his loudest voice said, Paul, today you will walk. When the service was ended, Paul hobbled outside to see that his car had been stolen.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.